This is Sunday morning, April 22nd, 2018. And we've been doing a study on the biggest lie on earth. And this is kind of a little different, but it's the Holy Mountain of God in the north. What's what we're going to look at. We're going to start just kind of looking at these areas, just a small portion of our Sunday morning. The Holy Mountain of God in the north. We're going to start with Ezekiel 28. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you are the full measure and pattern of exactness, giving the finishing touch to all that constitutes completeness. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the carnelian, topaz, jasper, crystallite, beryl, onyx, sapphire, carbuncle, and emerald. And your settings and your sockets and engravings were wrought in gold. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed cherub that covers with a overshadowing wings, and I set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, like the paved work of gleaming sapphire stone upon which the God of Israel walked on Mount Sinai. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity and guilt were found in you. Through the abundance of your commerce, you were filled with lawlessness and violence, and you sinned. Therefore I cast you out as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and the guardian cherub drove you out from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that you might gaze, that they may gaze at you. You have profaned your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities and the enormity of your guilt by the unrighteousness of your trade. Therefore I have brought forth a fire from your midst, and it has consumed you, and I have reduced you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who looked at you. All who know you among the people are astonished and appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and shall never return to being. Okay, we're talking about Satan here. Talking about how he was a beautiful creation from God. There's even a scripture that talks about when he walked, he emitted music. See, worship. It indicates he was in the mountain of God and he possibly was like a worship leader of some type. You know, it kind of fits with the way he has tried to take music and turn God's music and distort it to cause people to, you know, go to hell over it. Okay? All right, now with that, let's turn to Isaiah. Find it. Isaiah 50. No, 14, sorry. 14:12. How have you fallen from heaven, O lightbringer and day star, son of the morning? How you have been cut down to the ground, you who weakened and laid low the nations, O blasphemous, satanic king of Babylon? And you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost north. See, at a high place with God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Do you see why NASA trying to get through the firmament? Satan wants back. He wants back. He says he's going to exalt himself above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. First thing, when Jesus comes, when the millennial reign starts, the angel with a big chain is going to catch him and hook that chain on him and throw him in the pit. You shall be brought down to Sheol, Hades, that's in the center of the earth, to the innermost recesses of the pit, the region of the dead. See, there was two compartments. There was paradise and Sheol. You know, the rich man looked up and saw Abraham, or, you know, the beggar in Abraham's bosom. See, two compartments down there. So he's going to be in the pit for 1,000 years. Those that see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who would not permit his prisoners to return home? Like, that's what caused all this problem? That's what he says he's going to say. Okay, Satan wanted to exalt himself above the stars, above the firmament. He wants back in. He's been trying to get back in. Now let's look over Genesis. Nearly 6,000 years. I'm not quite sure the time element from Adam to post-flood. I'm not sure. I have known it, but I don't. It's escaping me at this moment. Genesis 11. Nasah, N-A-S-H-A, means deception. That's what they got their name, NASA. Deception. We've already established the fact that they're hiding things. Hiding things. I looked at a video last night. It was kind of funny. I didn't watch all of it. But it was a young man that approached all the astronauts that supposedly went to the moon, the ones that are still alive. And he said, I want you to swear on this Bible that you went to the moon. They cussed him, used the bad F dash 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 word at him. Buzz Aldrin punched him out. You know what? If you're right and you've got the truth, why would you act like that? Yeah. Okay. Genesis 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one descent and mode of expression. And as they journeyed eastward, they found a plain valley in the land of Shinar, and they settled and dwelt there. You know what? The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. That is very cool. They had one language. The Lord says, that's the way my body is. They have all one language, my language, their prayer language. We communicate with God and we know His plans. We can all be praying something different, all be praying in the Spirit and be praying the perfect will of God. Be all in accord. But they turned it for evil. And they said one to another, come and just make bricks and burn them thoroughly. So they had brick for stone and slime, bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top reaches into the sky. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the whole earth. They ain't going to bust through that firmament. God's going to knock it down. That's that cap Brother Copeland was talking about. You know what? When they hit that, there's not a rocket going through there. They've done tests. They've done experiments. Ain't nothing going through there. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confound, mix up, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from that place upon the face of the whole earth, and they gave up building the city. Therefore the name of it was called Babel, because there the Lord confounded the language of all the earth, and from that place the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So Satan wanted somebody to build him a tower. He wants to exalt himself above God. All right, this is another time that God leveled the playing field and cast down the evil. Satan wants to get through that firmament and set against the mountain of God. Sit up again in the mountain of God, sorry. Will never happen. Here's the closest he will ever get to that. This is Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. That's why he's pushing for this. So, you know, the devil has his timeline. He's trying to push an agenda, and God's saying, nope. Okay, 9:27. And he shall enter into a strong and firm covenant with the many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and offering to cease for the remaining 3.5 years. And upon the wing or pinnacle of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the full determined end is poured out on the desolator. So he's going to exalt himself in God's temple, the closest thing he can get to in Israel. And he's going to exalt himself as God. He's going to stop the daily sacrifice in the Jewish temple. He has deceived men and used them with his obsession to break through the firmament. Nuclear weapons. That's the purpose of this. It's not to really take out nations. When the atomic era began, Operation Fishbowl, that was what they did. These atomic missiles, they tried to break through the firmament and they couldn't. Okay, it didn't work then and it won't work now. Satan has deceived the men of the earth by concealing what God has made. Okay, this is Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. For that which is known about God is evident to them. See, they know. They know. For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness because God himself has shown it to them. They've seen the firmament. That's what Admiral Byrd saw. That's what caused his planes to crash because of the magnetic pull there. They'd crash into the firmament. It was a complete disaster. He's supposed to be there 8 months and they ended up like 6 weeks pulling out. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. Because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks, but instead, they became futile and godless in their thinking with vain imaginings, foolish reasoning. I can't think of anything more stupid than the alien stuff. Imaginings, foolish reasoning, the stupid speculations, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they were made simpletons of themselves. They believe to think up the silliest stuff they thought up. It's unreal. When it is finally uncovered, men will drop their silly obsessions of aliens from other planets, etc. Astronauts, N-O-T-S, are even now trying to figure out how they are going to get past the Van Allen radiation belt. We don't even really know that it exists. What they can't get past is a firmament. Will never happen their way. Only one way will it happen. There's only one man who can do it. The man Christ Jesus. We're going to read that. Revelation 11. See, he's so demented. He thinks he's going to change it. He thinks he's going to do it his way. And God's saying, no. Never going to happen. He's going to have his 3.5 year glory to do his destruction. Okay, Revelation 11, 15. The seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were mighty voices in heaven shouting, the dominion, kingdom, sovereignty, rule of the world has now come into the possession and become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, the Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever for the eternities of the eternities. Then the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin who sit on their thrones before God prostrated themselves before him and worshipped, exclaiming, To you we give thanks, Lord God omnipotent, the one who is and ever was, for assuming the high sovereignty and the great power that are yours and for beginning to reign. And the nations raged, but your wrath, retribution, indignation came. The time when the dead will be judged and your servants, the prophets and saints rewarded, and those who revere, fear your name, both low and high and small and great. And the time for destroying the corruptors of the earth. Then the sanctuary of God in heaven was thrown open. The ark of his covenant was seen standing inside his sanctuary, and there was flashes of lightning, loud peals, blasts, mutterings, peals of thunder, and an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm. This is the second coming. What's the hailstorm? The firmament is being broken. That's what's happening. Okay, we're going to read some more scriptures. You'll see it. 16. There's three tellings, at least three tellings of the second coming in the book of Revelation. 16:17. Then the seventh angel emptied out his bowl. The vials, the seals, the trumpets, the vials, they all ended Armageddon, which is the second coming. Then the seventh angel emptied out his bowl into the air, and a mighty voice came out of the sanctuary of heaven from the throne of God, saying, "It is done. It is all over. It is all accomplished. It has come." And there followed lightnings, flashes, loud rumblings, peals of thunder, and a tremendous earthquake. Nothing like it has ever occurred since man dwelt on the earth. So severe and far-reaching was that earthquake. The mighty city was broken in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God kept in mind mighty Babylon to make her drain the cup of his furious wrath and indignation. Every island fled, and no mountains could be found, and great, excessively oppressive hailstones, as heavy as a talent, between 50 and 60 pounds of immense size, fell from the sky on the people, and men blasphemed God for the plague of the hail. So very great was the torture of that plague. So he's coming. It's breaking up to let the King of Glory come in. Okay. The firmament will break apart and Jesus will come to get us and stop the devil and his plans and throw him in the pit. Now we're going to look at that. Revelation 20. He's going to set that record straight. First thing. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven. He was holding the key to the abyss, the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he gripped and overpowered the dragon, that old serpent of primeval times, who is the devil and Satan, and securely bound him for 1,000 years. And then he hurled him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and closed it and sealed it above him, so that he should no longer lead astray and deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were at an end. After that, he must be liberated for a short time. Okay, he's getting his. Satan is wanting to back up on Mount Zion. It's not an earthly Mount Zion. This is a heavenly Mount Zion. Okay. The Mount Zion in Jerusalem is only 2,205 feet. So they consider it just merely a hill. So the Mount Zion is where God is. That's the Mount Zion. Okay, Psalms 48:2. That scriptures. Fair and beautiful in elevation is the joy of all the earth, Mount Zion, to the northern side, the city of the great king. I don't like the way they do that there because it's not Mount Moriah and it's not the city of David. We're talking about the heavenly Zion. Okay, 68:16. Why do you look with grudging and envy, you many-peaked mountains, at the mountain of the city called Zion, which God has desired for his dwelling place? Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. Okay, Mount Zion. Ephesians 4. From there he gave gifts to the church. 4:8. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, He led captivity captive, and he bestowed gifts on men. Our call from the north. My call is from the north. Mount Zion. There's another one that talks about you've come into Mount Zion, a company of angels. Okay. So, okay, we're going to look at a few of those scriptures and then we'll be done. Psalms 2:6. Yet I have anointed my king on my holy hill of Zion. All right, 3:4. With my voice I cry to the Lord, and he hears and answers me out of his holy hill. Okay, Psalms 15. 1. Lord, who shall dwell in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? It's common knowledge that when Moses, or the rabbis in Israel, it's common knowledge to them, that Moses didn't just hang around on the top of a mountain. He went into the heavenly mountain and received the plans for the tabernacle because he saw them. If you'll read John, what he saw, what Ezekiel saw, they all saw the same thing. They saw God's throne. They'd see the glassy sea. Yeah. Okay. We looked at that, I think, last time. Okay, 24:3. Who shall go up into the mountain of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Look at there. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. There we be. Not the devil. He's doing everything he can to get up there, but he ain't going to get there. Try he might. He'll destroy whatever he has to destroy to get there. That's what's so sad about the people that follow him, is because they're deluded into realizing he's going to kill them. That's his plan for them. He's using them as a means to get to where he wants to be. But they're going to be with him in the pit. Isn't that terrible? The lake of fire. Okay. 43:3. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Okay, 99. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He sits above the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. He sits in the highest place, and there won't be nobody else sit there. Now we sit with him in his throne. But it's because he allows us to, not because we got on a rocket, busted our way through. Satan's so stupid. 12, Hebrews 12:22. This is the scripture I was talking about. You could say the flat earth and all the biggest lie on earth, all this, it all has to do with uncovering Satan and his lies. That's what makes it relevant, Satan and his lies. But rather, you've come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the countless multitudes of angels in festal gathering. Now, I told you, the city's going to come down, and it's going to hover over natural Jerusalem. It's the city that's compact together. It's going to operate as one city. That's where God dwells, in the north.